Welcome to Stop Back and Roll, a podcast about being such a professional athlete, you don't even flinch when the cage comes down. I'm James.
And I'm Brandon. Today we're talking about Daggerheart, Pommelball, Warhammer, and more games that aren't about killing things.
You know, we all looked at the eclipse, and the best part about looking right at the eclipse is that now I just see it forever.
No glasses.
I see it all the time, burned into my burned into my vision. Everyone was so excited, but you cowards all just looked at it with glasses, and you got to see it once, but now I see it forever.
The stop, pack, and roll method is no glasses the entire time.
Yeah.
And you just go.
Yep. No glasses, brain empty, eyes on fire.
Hearts full, can't lose.
Yeah.
Stop,
hack, and
it is honestly kind of surprising that we didn't end up using that, some variant of that, as our title instead of stop, hack, and roll, which is again incomprehensible. Like,
yes,
we could have had a different incomprehensible title. We should just swap over.
Yep. Well,
so speaking of
damage,
clear hearts,
damage to your eyes.
How many? Yeah. Can't lose. Speaking of can't lose, and the rest of it. Friday Night Lights.
Yeah.
Friday Night Sun. Monday afternoon sun. Straight at it. No sunglasses. Let's talk Pommelball.
Yeah. Can I pivot you and talk about my topic first? Just because I think it'll be faster, because I don't have as much to say.
Bold move, but yeah, let's do it.
So
I love that we had like a conversation about like what we were going to talk about, like including specifically within the topic, and then you were like, yeah, and I've got something else that might tie into it. And then I was like, yeah, I figured we're going to talk about damage at some point.
We're going to talk about damage and how you're moving away from damage.
Okay. Okay.
And I have like a middle stage of damage that I want to talk about.
Great.
So I will preface this by saying that I have not read this whole game.
I think that if you're interrupting a topic, you don't get to preface this. If you're like, hey, this topic's done.
Look, this is a very bad topic. Okay, look, you want to go after me?
I can go after. Go for it.
I just think that there's not going to be as much here, and so we might as well just get it out of the way fast. Then we can move back around to your thing, which is more serious.
Let's take this worst topic.
Yeah, do it first. Really, really hook people. With, you gotta put the, they all want to hear the thing about Pommelball, but they gotta wait till after the commercial break.
Yeah, you know, people want that bone first before they get to the meat of the episode.
Yeah, absolutely.
Stop, back, and roll episodes are like a giant beetle. It's an exoskeleton.
Yeah. Hard carapace on the outside.
Hard carapace, little bit of nutrients inside.
You gotta really want it.
You gotta work for it.
No, because you were talking about moving away from damage.
Yeah.
And so it reminded me of a conversation that I had about, of all things, the Daggerheart role-playing game, which is by the folks at, it's not a Critical Role, it's what's their game studio?
It's Critical Role.
But it's their game studio.
They've got another name for it, but like, you know.
Darrington Press. There we go. Darrington Press. And so I haven't read it, but I did talk to someone about the interesting thing that they did with damage, which I think is maybe inspired. Which is that rather than having, so basically for a lot of games, your damage is usually one for one with the like when you have hit points and you have damage, and damage attacks and hits hit points directly.
Okay.
In Daggerheart, it doesn't. Damage, characters, depending on their class, I believe, have hit point thresholds.
Okay.
But whenever you take a hit, you are always taking 1, 2, or 3 HP of damage.
Okay.
And then there are thresholds. So like you might have like in the example that I'm looking at in the book in front of me, the Guardian has a threshold at 6, 11, and 16.
Okay.
And so if you are doing doing 6 damage, then if someone does 6 damage to you, then you mark off 1 hit point. And if they do 11 damage to you, you mark off 2 hit points.
Okay.
If they do 16 or more, you mark off 3 hit points. You're never taking more than 3 hit points.
Interesting. So, okay. That's interesting.
And then there's some stress stuff that goes on. And then so if you take under your, so if your first bench point is 6 and someone does 4 damage to you, you don't take damage, you don't lose HP, you take stress.
Okay.
Says something else, which I haven't read about. But there is then like, there's like a whole different mechanic for like what happens when you fill up. Because it's just like, I really like the idea of unhinging damage from HP loss.
Yeah, yeah.
Something about that really kind of like tickles my brain in a good way.
I've got some good news. Opens up,
yeah, 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 yeah. No, it doesn't. Well, that's why you were like, I'm getting rid of it entirely. And I was like, I like that because I think we've really like locked ourselves to this. I roll dice and that's how much damage I do. And then you take that much hit points and
like, it's
really just kind of, it's limiting,
but it's also fun to roll damage, you know?
Right.
Like, and so like, yeah. Like there is like some joy of rolling damage and seeing like, you know, I'm the big guy that uses the big D12 and I get to roll my big dice and I get to add my big number to it.
Yeah. You want to do the big number of damage.
But I don't want to fight a 400 HP monster.
No.
under any circumstances. And sometimes I don't want to fight a 12 HP, a 16 HP dragon, you know? I think it is interesting to try to tackle this from like some different directions. I've actually heard that game has some really cool stuff going on in it. I know there's... I'm blanking on the names right now, but the people that are working on it clearly are doing fine because they're working with Critical Role. So, I'm not worried that I'm not giving them the cred they deserve. But I do know that
Spencer Stark,
that
game designer.
Yes, but all that to say, like I've heard like that some people reading it having like going like, yes, this is like some really good stuff. It's like brought in like some Blades tech that apparently is working really nicely. It sounds like as with everything, there is no multi-tool. It sounds like it'll play a specific kind of game that should work well for people looking to play that specific kind of the game.
Yeah, I think it lives in an interesting world of like, it's definitely a big company that is, we don't need to get into the politics of Critical Role, but like,
no, they're a big company that's deeply indebted. Critical Role's got bad politics, and they're deeply indebted
to the, into the D&D setting. And so like, they're making games. I don't want to say that I had low expectations.
I had low expectations.
But to hear people come out and say like, hey, there's some cool stuff. And to hear people come out and say like, oh, this is actually very cool, like the way that they're doing damage. And then to go read that, like it has a death move, which is very cool.
Love a death move.
Yeah. The death move is like when in Daggerheart, when you mark your last hit point, you must make a death move. And the death move is you choose to either embrace death and go out in a blaze of glory, avoid death, but face the consequences, or risk it all.
Okay.
And then you can roll some dice to see if you survive.
That sounds fun. I like that.
Yeah. It's very cool. The avoid death and face consequences is very much the fate get taken out of the conflict where you just like you fall unconscious or you lose narrative control of your character for a second while the GM wins, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
But you don't die and then you regain control of your character. But you take some kind of a scar or an aspect or something.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah, it's definitely, I think it's probably a crunchier game that I'm looking to play most of the time.
Yeah, but I'm interested. I'll dig into it some more.
Crunchy games should exist.
Yeah.
Controversial opinion from Stop Hack and Roll.
Yeah. Games with mechanics. We like them.
Yeah. Just as much as we like games that don't have mechanics.
Yeah. Speaking of games that don't have mechanics.
Hey, now. There's some mechanics. So
I mean, this game probably has words right now.
Yeah, I mean, like, this is a partial document. This is a partial document.
Okay, fair.
So Pommel Ball is my Blood Bowl, right?
Yeah.
It's I'm going kind of like Blood Bowl via like field hockey is kind of sort of the vibe that I'm going. Because the more I was thinking about it, the less I want someone like holding the ball. I want people like kicking the ball and bouncing it around. That kind of thing. I feel like that feels more fun just because I like soccer a lot. And like I've played soccer and play soccer a lot.
Yeah.
And so that feels like a little more familiar to me.
I've heard that a few people play soccer.
A few people play soccer.
It's a little bit popular.
Some would say football is life.
Yeah.
In the incredible Ted Lasso show.
That's what I heard.
That is, it's true. Danny Rojas is like what I aspire to be and will never be.
Ball is life.
Yeah, exactly. What I'm starting to do is I want to give it like an arcade. I want to hit two different feels. I want to hit an arcadey kind of quick play, goofing around, moving things around, people bouncing all over the place feel. And I want to hit like a football manager like campaign feel.
Interesting.
And so what I'm trying to do is give a lot of wiggle in the mechanics, but keep the mechanics themselves relatively simple once they hit play. And so I'm looking to things like sports video games to like really help me try to like shape what I'm looking at. The first thing that I'm doing is that there will be like pre-made teams and pre-made characters that you can just like draft and like quickly play. The Red Claw Classic. Although also maybe just like, you know, if you want to just pick like big linebacker type and then stick a name on it and go, right? Like, So like, I'm not sure whether it's going to be like hero units in the same way. At some point I am going to do that, but early rounds, it's going to be more like, this is your basics, you know? But if you want to customize each character separately, you're going to be able to do that as well, which is where it gets into that kind of like football manager, right? That you're moving characters around and things like that. Ideally, I'd like to be able to set it up so there's like a full league structure and you're like actually making deals with people that you're playing with in like a broader sense. But only for my own amusement that it could exist, not thinking that it would ever happen, that anyone would ever play it to that extent.
Yeah. They might.
Maybe. But starting from that video gamey vibe, I thought of my favorite sports video game, Nintendo Hockey for the NES, where you choose a flag and then you choose your guys. And the guys you choose are like a little guy that's quick and gets knocked around, a medium guy that kind of balances those two things, and a big guy that moves slowly and is hard to push. And I feel like that works really, really well for Pommel Ball. So essentially, each character will be one of those three things. And that will give you basic movement information and your defensive information.
Okay.
On top of that, each character will have a kit, which is like their style of... their class, kind of.
Yeah.
Couple
items, something like that.
Yeah, like it gives like some item stuff. It gives you like your throw distance, like what dice you use to catch, what any bonuses for blocking, any bonuses for like different alternate reaction or something like that. And basically what the goal will be is that you can grab any frame and any kit and stick it together and make a character. There's also going to be like an even deeper level that it's like, the kits give you like a tier, B tier, C tier weapon. And so you can swap out within your tier of weapon.
Cause I forgot, this is a game that also has combat as opposed to sport. Sports.
Exactly. Yeah. And so like the kits are going to be basically broken down with like an ABC kind of progression, in order to like allow some changing stuff around. For the people that want to like dig into it and like mess with the system and make their weird little guys fit exactly what they're looking for. But what I'm really interested in looking at right now, where things are like kind of hitting for me, is I've been looking at the defense mechanics, the combat mechanics.
Yeah.
Because I want you to be rolling dice to do damage in some way. Because I want, part of it is feeling D&D, having your polyhedrals in front of you, picking up your D8 and throwing it. But if you're managing five different little guys at a time, or six different little guys at a time, five and a keeper, I think is maybe what it'll be. Then I don't, you don't want to manage six HP pools, you know?
Yeah.
And so what I'm thinking I'm going to do is when you make an attack, you won't roll like a D, you won't roll to hit. It's just every attack you make is a hit.
Mm-hmm.
And then you roll and try to hit defensive thresholds for those characters that cause actions.
See, like that's why I brought up Daggerheart.
It fit really well. Defensive threshold, like the hitting the thresholds. You said that, and I was like, "Wow,
you doubted me."
Did I read Daggerheart? I went into a fugue state and read 400 pages of crunchy tabletop games and didn't realize. But essentially what is going to happen is you'll hit three thresholds, bobble, push, and stagger.
Yeah, I like that.
If you hit someone enough to bobble the ball, then they have to make a roll to, basically a roll to catch, right? Mm-hmm. This is a chance for them to lose control of the ball. If you hit push, then they get shoved a square away. Which is very helpful because you've already gotten them to bobble the ball, hopefully, and so you've hopefully moved them away from the ball now. And if you do enough damage on top of that, you get push them additional spaces. And stagger makes it so that like you've kind of knocked them out. On their next roll, they're going to be less effective. It's not like killing them because I don't want to take people off the field. But it's not like really. They're useless or something like that. Just they have less ability to handle something right now.
Why stagger and not like a prone or a knocked over or something like that?
You know, I considered making it specific. The reason I called it stagger was just so that you could have different effects doing it.
Okay.
Like being grabbed by plants versus being punched in the head, right? Like it's both of them stagger you, both of them do something. But the basic idea, and I might change that, but the basic idea is like that is your, you know, you took a big hit. Things are not good.
It gives you a another level of knocked off of their feet or whatever you want to call that. That you could have like a powered up special like attack kind of too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also considered just calling it bloodied. Mm. Like, you know, a la fourth edition. And then giving stats that like work off of bloodied potentially. But it's the same thing, you know, like clearly there should be some abilities that attack staggered enemies specifically and things like that.
Oh, but, it'd be such a good like combo thing of if you have like a big guy staggers someone when that person is next or is adjacent to a little guy on your team, and then that's when you knock them over.
That's
they stagger backwards over the little guy.
That's good. And then like that's like kind of the things that I'm trying to like build up the opportunity for, right? Yeah.
And that's when they knock prone. That's when then they have to get up again.
Yeah. And then like that would like, you know, take movement and stuff like that.
Because these guys these people are athletes.
Yeah.
They're playing pummel ball.
Yeah.
They're not going to get knocked over just easily.
By a single hit?
By a single hit. Not unless someone's doing something, some shenanigans.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And there should be shenanigans.
Well, yeah, obviously.
Yeah, of course.
They're playing pummel ball.
Yeah.
They're athletes.
They're athletes. These guys are professionals. Come on. Of course there's going to be shenanigans. But... So basically the frame sets up where those thresholds are. If you are a little guy, your bobble is at 3 damage. So like, you know, almost anything's going to make you bobble it.
Mm-hmm.
And like your push is 4 damage plus 1 additional space for each additional damage. And stagger is 6 damage. this is just like starting, mm-hmm. thinking of like basic D&D equipment kind of stuff. And then like, you know, the big guy, you've got a movement of 3, bobble of 5, push of 6, and it takes 2 additional damage for each extra space and stagger of 8. And so like you could field just a team of big guys and
or
be like
a team of little guys.
Or just a team of little guys. And theoretically, both of them would hopefully work. There's definitely some balance questions. Cause like I don't know how badly it would not work to be that much slower and things like that.
Yeah.
And like, you know, probably you're also there's some stuff with like choosing the right kits for you and everything like that. I'm sure there will be optimal builds and less optimal builds, and that'll be a matter of adjustments.
That's for the meta to figure out.
But that's later. For the meta to figure out.
I'm thinking you need like a tall guy who bobbles at 2, but then only pushes and staggers at like 6 and 8.
Okay, I say. I think also that there's an opportunity for some kits that like, this is you're used to holding the ball. Your bobble goes up or. Like, you know, or things like that. Then from there, essentially, the attacks that you do, then you just roll the damage to see what it does. Now the questions that I have, the things I'm still trying to figure out with like that specifically.
I'll figure it out. Just tell me.
Perfect. Is rolling, if you roll under bobble,
mm-hmm.
what happens?
Mm.
I had considered making it so that, like, subsequent attacks in the same round, like, give a bonus.
Yeah.
But I don't, I'm hesitant to do something like that requires a lot of, like, individual tracking on characters. You know, like, because then at that point, I've just invented HP again.
What if you did, I've been playing Genesis again.
Okay.
The Fantasy Flight game. And the way that Genesis works is that you have these funky dice, these funky little dice
mm-hmm.
That roll advantages, successes, triumphs, failures, threats, despairs, all that jazz.
Yeah.
And so you balance them out, like successes cancel or failures cancel out successes, et cetera. Yeah. And then you're left usually with some advantages or disadvantages left over. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if you, and then there's like a table of things you can spend advantages on.
Mm.
And so I wonder if like damage that hits but doesn't do anything could be spent on advantages like a bonus to hit, like you hand a bonus to the next player to hit for their next hit, or you learn something about the character, or you do something to them. Like there's a bunch of little things you can, like in Genesis, it's usually you pass an advantage die to the next player.
Yeah.
You learn a piece of information or you notice something. I wonder if there's something similar you could get there where like,
yeah, that could work so that you're getting some kind of a chip to spend on something later.
Yeah, which was interesting because if you have a big guy versus a little guy, the little guy is only ever going to have 2 damage that you can use or 2 of those things you can use against them.
Yeah.
Versus the big guy is going to have up to 4.
Yeah.
So what's something that makes more sense for you to have against a big guy than for against a little guy?
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, and it could be.
Maybe it's like a momentum. Like you set up an attack, and that gives another attack to somebody else, or like you hold on, and they carry you or something.
which also could be things in like abilities, right? That's like, you know, when you just straight up like on a miss,
that's
you do
thing.
X.
That's the other thing. Okay. How about this? There is the other thing that happens in Genesis is that equipment has triggerable abilities.
Okay.
Like it explodes or it does pierce more damage or it or it does stuns. You can have it stun, and so you can spend extra advantages. Now, for you, if you're doing it as spend damage, then you like, and if you don't, what if you didn't just limit it to damage done under the bottom threshold? But what if it's like, I have a pommel stick that has a stun ability that I can trigger by spending damage into it. So maybe I roll exactly 3 damage.
Yeah.
Do I take the bobble or do I do a stun, or if maybe I've rolled at 5 against a little guy. So I'm going to push him, but do I then spend 2 damage to trigger my psychic attack or something like that? And then kick myself down into a bobble.
Or like a chain lightning ability that you can spread out the actual damage roll over a couple or a cleave that you can spread out the damage over a couple guys.
Mm-hmm.
That's fun. I like that.
Let you choose how to spend that damage in a kind of a more complicated way.
Yeah. And then also obviously built with the intention that if someone doesn't want to go into that kind of a system,
you bobble and push.
They choose the weapons.
Do all the core stuff.
Exactly. Exactly. That actually makes some really compelling options for different ratings of weapons.
Mm-hmm.
Because then the person who doesn't want to deal with an additional system chooses the weapon that hits a little bit harder.
Yeah.
Right? Like it just on
which
base
is also
hits harder.
Mechanically seems very good.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've got no idea how that's going to.
No, yeah.
How it's going to balance out or anything. But I just liked taking this as an option to just not have to look at HP, you know? Like you roll and you just you just ask them, hey, what have I done with my 7?
Yeah.
Or as you start to play a little bit, you know how the little guys, medium guys, and big guys work, and that's open knowledge. Because it's meant to be board gamey, so I want it to have that feel of open awareness of what's on the field. You should be able to reach across and look at your stuff and see what your opponent has and things like that. And so that's the basic damage stuff. And then from there, the kits give more information in terms of how you play the rest of the game. And so, if you're choosing, a quarterback-style position, it's not really football anymore, but, someone who can really clear the ball, then you'll have higher throw distance, or you might have some that are more focused on being receivers.
Yeah.
And then just different abilities, because you got to have weird stuff that you can make holes in the ground and make walls and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I like it. I like the idea of spending damage to do abilities.
I like that too. Yeah,
because there's so much flexibility in either just pumping up your ability to do the core things or boosting your throw distance, other dice benefiting mechanics or ability triggers or whatever.
Well, because then also lets magic run on a similar system that you've got this is your magic's damage, effectiveness essentially.
Yeah.
And then you can just pump that magic into somebody's head and bobble them, push them, stagger them. Or you can use the effects that are built up, and then you don't even need to have a separate system for that, right?
Yeah.
Which means you don't need to have you don't need to have stats, which is a thing I would love to avoid. Just in terms of simplicity of it,
Yeah, it would be interesting to have if you had a wizard or sorcerer type. Yeah. So I'm assuming that the core kind of engagement here, because you're saying you don't have to roll to hit, you're just rolling the damage. Is that I have a big guy and I move up alongside your little guy or your medium guy, and I say, all right, I'm gonna I'm going to body slam, and so I roll some damage.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to have a wizard character archetype who doesn't have to declare who they're attacking first.
Yeah.
Just rolls damage and then goes, okay, I have 6 damage points to spend on spells.
And I'm going to spend them in this way, yeah. And, like, probably the wizards won't have, like, a ton of spell options, you know? Just because it's supposed to be kind of quick. But, like, if you are in position and you go, like, you know, okay, like, my main spell is this wall of flame. I'm going to roll my magic effectivity, see what I've got available, stick down some wall, and bobble that guy who's in range of me.
God, I love the idea of bringing up, calling up a wall.
Yeah, that's fun, right? Won't that be fun? I feel like that'll be a lot of fun in this kind of a game.
Yes.
And like, I think there's going to be a lot of play with like blocking line of sight between throws and blocking line of sight between the goal. Setting that up with different characters giving different bonuses and stuff like that.
Yeah, it kind of, what I'm getting a little bit is the, it's not exactly like a one-to-one thing, but it's giving Into the Breach vibes.
Yeah, yeah.
Where, like, rather than the damage doing damage, it's more about, like, it becomes more, less of a game about who can you hit and how much damage can you do to them, and more about where can I move, who can I see, and how can I move them to reposition them in a way where they can't move or see another character.
And so, like, that's why I tried to make it so that my hope is that there's a decent amount of pushing, you know, that, like, the hits. And, like, that's why I made a push is just one damage more than a bobble for all of the frames. Like, for the little guys, just 2 points above moves them 2 spaces. Because I want it to be, like, you know, you take the hit and you go and you get flung back. And I want to have the fun moments of someone going, like, you know, all right, and that's a 12 on my d12, you're moving back 6 spaces, and just, like, you know, counting it up and having that arcadey kind of feel from it, you know. Like, obviously balancing things is always a nightmare.
Yeah.
But as long as it's fun and can be thrown together quickly, then I think it doesn't matter if it's, like, hugely unbalanced, you know?
That's where I think that movement, that kind of very, especially for a sports game.
Yeah, movement is so, like, important.
Movement play is very important.
Yeah.
It's very fun.
And because everybody's going to take their movement before anyone else can take their movement again.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, they move, they're in like, team initiative. So you take flip back and forth between the teams. But you choose who you move each turn.
That's cool.
But once they're moved, they're tapped.
Yeah.
And so, like, that, and then tapped mode, they're, like, slightly different. So, like, in an ideal world, your runner gets into sideways. Position. They're sideways. In an ideal world, your runner gets into position first because your runner is better at catching once they've moved. And so, like, you know, you're trying to, but, like, your blockers are better at like, you know, blocking as opposed to, like, attacking. Once they're into position.
Mm.
And so you run through your whole initiative. And so you might end up a point that, like, you know, you've made all the moves that are going to involve the ball. And you've got 2 guys left to move. And you just set them where you want to set them. And maybe take a swing at somebody, because who knows, you might stagger them.
Well, and also, if you move, so you want to move your runners early to get them into position. But if I move my runners early, now you know where I'm setting up my play.
Yeah.
So you can move your blocker to go bump or bobble or push my runner. And now he's not in position anymore.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's so where that football vibe keeps coming in.
Yeah.
Can't help it.
Yeah. It's the how much do you like, you have to do the play, but by doing the play, you expose the play.
And so you got to make sure that, like, you set up the play when you're ready to move the ball, right?
Yeah, or have multiple characters that can potentially be runners.
Yeah.
So there's some plausible, like, either genuine alternatives or at least the appearance of alternatives so that you can kind of feint at one.
And lateral passing and everything like that is an option. Yeah. Or, like, give it to the big guy and have him walk it in.
Yeah. The best football play.
The best football. Yeah. You know me. I like the Cornhuskers. That is the best football play. Give it to the big guy and have him walk it in.
Mm-hmm.
Corn. But that's where things kind of lie right now. With like some vagaries on how things work. Mm-hmm. I think throwing is going to be based on your distance, like a pass distance, and it's going to be perfect.
Okay.
So like you decide, So like you decide where your throw is, and you go like go. Like, and so if no one blocks it, it lands where it's supposed to go.
I thought you were like, I was like, very bold move to put a flag at like put your stake in the ground there to declare this the perfect mechanic that you hadn't written yet. Like, I'm gonna write this throwing mechanic. And I stand by it. It's gonna be perfect.
It's gonna be perfect. it's gonna be perfect. Just like every mechanic I've ever written.
Yeah. Flawless.
Completely perfect. But characters will then have to roll to catch the ball. And like, you know, if no one has gotten near it, no one has tried to bump it, anything like that, then it's a super easy catch, probably most of the time. Assuming that your character is built even a little bit towards receiving the ball.
Like,
probably there will be some people that you shouldn't throw the ball to because they can't catch for their lives. But, some degree of being able to get the ball.
Yeah. The big guy that's the mech with no arms and only missile pods, don't throw the ball to him.
Don't throw the ball. he's not going to catch it.
He might shoot it with a missile.
Yeah. But then any character that it passes also can try to catch it. So if you're kicking through hitting through someone's square, they can try to stop it. And if you're adjacent, you can try to like knock it in some way. Like do some kind of blocking, make it harder to catch, or like maybe even knock it off of its path. And then from there you've got the ball just loose in the field. So it's going to be on its own mini. Because, like, you know, if you get someone to bobble it and then push them away, or you knock it free, or you turn someone into a sheep that doesn't have hands, then all of those should be positions where the ball is just free for a little bit.
If I was looking for an example of something who might be playing this game that didn't have hands, a sheep was a better choice than the mech. The missile pods.
I mean, it could be both. It could be a sheep in a mech with missile pods. Yeah. Or a sheep in a mech with sheep pods. Yeah, that fire sheeps. Yeah.
Sheep powered laser.
And then the kind of last set of things is just other abilities. I want some degree of being able to block people. Like, if someone comes near you, if someone passes near you, you should be able to make some kind of an attempt to do something, you know? I don't know if it'll be full-on opportunity attacks, or if it'll be something different. But
Bopportunity.
But I don't want it to be that, like, you know, if the little guy has the ball, then they can just get past it, literally every person, right?
Yeah.
And I think setting up the size of the field is going to be another big question to make sure that enough people have coverage to be doing stuff while also hopefully having some opportunity for like ranged characters. Because I do think it's hilarious for someone to pull out a bow and arrow and just like shoot someone with a bow and arrow on the pitch. Yeah, that feels fun.
You know what? If I can just throw a random mechanic at this game.
Yeah, of course.
This has been you trying to talk about this game and me trying to pivot us into different directions. So I was thinking about that. I have been watching a lot of people playing Warhammer 40K. Okay.
This is like a tactics war game. Like I can't pretend it is something other than that.
And I'm going to preface this again by saying that I have no idea how to play Warhammer 40K.
You gotta, when you're going to make that a hard shift, you gotta,
I should probably,
you gotta make the hard shift, and then you gotta slow it down, pull it
but
on
there,
back,
but there,
kill
there
the
are,
momentum, and then slow it down further.
There are, at least from what I have seen, there are some game modes of, so basically there's like the kind of just like all out combat part right. of Warhammer 40K, where you're just fighting and you get points for minis. But there's also like there's missions you're doing. There's like you have to take this capture point, and if you hold the capture point, you get 5 points. So those are like main objectives. Then characters also, or players, draw secondary objectives, and sometimes those secondary objectives are like you draw them and you have them for the whole game, or you have them until you do them. But sometimes you draw them like every round.
Okay. And it's like, this round you need to do this thing.
Yeah. And so in Warhammer, it's like you've got to take down a big vehicle.
Yeah.
Or you've got to like move a character to this waypoint. Or you've got to like do damage with a grenade. Or there's a whole bunch of them, like a whole bunch of different things. And I wonder if that kind of secondary objective mechanic would work with this, where like you draw two secondary objectives and it's like, okay, so maybe your primary objective is obviously score points. But your secondary objective is like hotshot a little bit, like pass the ball 3 times.
Yeah.
To get extra points or get extra something.
That feels like a fan thing, like an audience thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Cuz that feels so signature to like the audience vibe, that it's like, yeah, the fans here at this stadium want to see some blood. you can tell. Yeah. They're all revved up.
Yeah.
That could be a fun moment where the card is drawn and it's like, that, because that could also give like a reroll or something like that, like an exploding dice. Exploding dice are so much fun, and there's a part of me that wants to just make all dice explode in this game. But like having the moment of going like, okay, do you think it should be a shared objective for both teams, or each team gets their own objective?
I think it's more fun if it's each team gets their own.
Okay. Should it be public or hidden? Hidden, probably.
I could see it being fun either way.
Yeah, me too.
The reason why this popped into my brain was because you were talking about the shape of the board.
Yeah,
and I would love like a secondary objective that's like, hey, you know how your goal's over there. You can, and you're already in that, you're already going that direction. You can score that way. What if you scored over there though? Like, there's a secondary goal.
Own goal.
That pops up. Or like, not an own goal, but like there's a tertiary goal that pops up.
Okay.
Temporarily that you can score in, but it's not where you are and not where you've driven your characters. And so you'd have to like turn around and get there quickly to score, but you would score more points if you did it.
There's like a little kid out there with like a glove. It's like, kick it out of bounds. Get it to him.
mm-hmm.
I feel like there could be. There's a part of me that wants to keep the scoring points to scoring goals.
Okay.
But I do love the like having a currency of some kind based off of hitting missions.
Yeah.
Feels extremely what I'm going for. Like, I'd love to, like, if I drew a card that said like, hit someone who's already staggered, and like, you know, like the club ones, like the fans want to beat down, I'd be like, yes, drop everything. I know exactly what I'm doing this turn.
Yeah.
And like, given that a turn is 5 movements, I think you'd have time to hit a goal in one like, turn potentially.
I'm like scrolling through this list of Warhammer secondary objectives.
Yeah.
And like I said, it's got the destroy enemy units, destroy a vehicle, or like keep all enemies out of this 6-inch section of the battlefield. control whatever. Have 2 more units.
Fun.
Like keep a certain number of units in your opponent's deployment, like in their side of the field.
Yeah.
Like
that feels arcadey also, which is a thing that I really like.
Yeah.
Because definitely one thing, once I've got like the core gameplay down, I need to start making like weird stuff. Did you play what's it called? Like Super Baseball 3000 or something like that?
I don't think so.
Let me see. If I might
Baseball 2020.
Maybe it was 20. Oh, what was it? Maybe it was 2020. Oh my gosh, are we past? We are past the year of Super Baseball.
Yeah,
that's shocking.
Can't believe that nobody invented Super Baseball yet.
Yeah, so Super Baseball was a baseball game. Which had robots and
yep. I'm watching a video.
All sorts of great stuff. The most important thing, the most relevant thing right now is that after I think the third or fourth inning, the umpire goes, "Now we set the crackers," and mines get placed in the outfield.
Uh-huh.
And so you have to avoid mines while you're running around trying to field the ball.
Yep.
And that is exactly the kind of vibe that I'm trying to hit. Like, this is probably two or three releases down the ways, but there needs to be a thing with like arcade bumpers that if you hit the bumper, you get bounced off harder. Because I want people to just be bouncing around everywhere.
Hit your own guy to push them
into the bumper and
the bumper.
They're gonna take bobble damage. Then they get to move. But if you do this right, this will be a legendary moment.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
And then the cage comes down, and the field starts to slowly fill with water.
A cage coming down over a small part of the field with two people just like instructed to fight each other with no one. It's like, and now the two of these characters are just stuck together and they have to fight. Extremely, extremely good opportunities.
Yep. Yep.
This is the thing that I'm most excited for, is making like little eventy things to do. Because there definitely needs to be rolling on tables or drawing cards to get weird little events.
So you gotta have secondary objective cards that trigger events.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is you buy events. Like you buy so you do the secondary objective and it gives you an enchantment?
Yes.
And then do I vampire survivors it and you get a choice? Or is it just you get an enchantment and you draw a card?
Maybe. Okay, what if it's this? What if there is, and this is my obsession with what if we added 15 more decks of cards to this game? You have your secondary objectives,
this
right?
This game is never going to sell, so like it can have as many decks of cards as it wants.
You have your secondary objectives that are private to you. Are the things that you're trying to do to gain like favor or momentum with the audience.
Yeah.
And then there are you have like the event deck that you draw three of that are like drawn face up, and so everyone can see them. Mm. And those are the things you spend momentum or whatever point fan points to buy to activate. And then when you do that, then you draw out another one.
Yeah, yeah. And so like you.
But
like,
anyone can do it. Anyway, like you're, it's their
whoever
shared
gets their thing.
Players.
Whoever gets their gold on first. And so you might have some that are simple that are like, you know, the ball catches on fire.
Yeah.
Damage the person who has the ball. Or it might be weird stuff.
The cage comes down.
A cage drops down, and whoever wins gets a point. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it's the one moment that HP comes in. It's like your stagger, your HP is double your stagger, fight to the death.
I love that, because that could be a, do we take this character who is very good, and we put them in a cage alone so that they they definitely get a point, but they're out of play for a little while.
At least out of play for a couple rounds, yeah.
Or do I cage them one for one with one of my players?
Two
or
for
do I
one?
Cage them two for one or three for one and lose three of my players, but I also definitely
hilarious.
Win that fight?
It would be so funny to like 3-on-1 cage and just like lay like tremendous beat down. It's like, oh yeah, like how many points is that worth? One.
No, not a lot,
felt
yeah.
good though.
Like one, yeah.
Yeah, that guy was 1 point away from a hat trick. It was worth it.
Yes, I like this.
I destroyed his future career, and that's what I'm here to do.
Guy's not going to come back to the stadium again. not since the cage.
He's not going to show his face here. Tell you that.
Audience loved it, though.
Audience loved every moment of it.
It's Pommel Ball.
That's Bumble. That's Bumble, baby. They're professional athletes.
Professional athletes.
That's Pommel Ball. They're professional athletes is like the best explanation for any moment in this game. Well, you know, it's Pommel Ball. They're professional athletes. It's just all about how you say it.
Yeah. They're playing a sports game. Why does that guy have a sword? They're professional athletes. They're
professional athletes. Pommel Ball.
It's Pommel Ball.
Yeah, they're professional.
That's what you expected.
So,
yeah,
what my plan is, because I'm trying to like come up with the thing, talk about the thing, action items, right?
Yeah,
like
project manage.
I'm trying to project manage myself because I'm finally getting to the point that I've got like a little bit of reading room. I think the frames are done, which is like not nothing, but it's not a lot. I want to make a small set of kits that kind of cover the basics of actual sports play. A basic keeper kit. There's going to be more than one keeper kit, but one keeper kit. And then probably like a defensive midfield and forward. Just to get like real basic with it. And then maybe like a combat one, like a combat focused, a spoiler. And then with those five kits, make a team and find somebody to play against and play some Pommel Ball.
Yeah.
With like, you know, basic thing of like, you know, in weapon damage, like not going like choose your fancy weapon. But kind of building just from that. So I might be bugging you to play some Pommel Ball.
I'd love to. I would love to Pommel a ball. I'm a professional athlete.
James is a professional athlete.
I'll play some Pommel Ball.
That's Pommel Ball. The other thing I was thinking about and not certain on is team abilities. Because I was torn, because I was like thinking of like very much in terms of like characters, but I could see a thing where you go like my team's thing is ball control, right? Like we do not bobble, and so all of our characters are better at not bobbling, or like are like have a better check for that.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's getting too complicated, and it's better to just keep stuff on the individual player side of things. Because, like, you know, you could just make choices that build that.
I mean, that definitely feels like a really easy thing to slap in later.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That is probably not something you need right off the bat. And then from there, I want to make some more kits. Or maybe like make more options within each of the kits, you know? Like I want you to be able to like choose a spear no matter what kit you're in. Okay. But have it be like different qualities of spear, you know? Okay. Because like a spear user is very different from a sword user on the field, right? You've got that space of range. Okay. It's different.
That's your opinion. A spear is just a sword, is a dull sword.
Just a long sword.
A long, dull sword.
But like I want you to be able to choose like a bow and arrow as your weapon for basically any kit you're using.
Yeah.
And so like those are going to be like a separate layer of it. And so I need to like make like choose a set of weapons and then make them at each level, which is probably mostly just a matter of like upping the hit die, you know, like your C level sword is a D6, your B level sword is a D8, your A level sword is a D10. Because that eventually has to come in, but for now, starting with just everyone using swords or clubs or whatever, basic punches. And then the question becomes, do I make more kits or do I try to make like individual characters? You know?
Yeah.
Because there's a part of me that would like it to be possible to have like a set of characters that you just like draft to play a game, you know? Just so it's like really easy, because I want to make like the most pick up and play version that I can do that includes some level of choosing characters. Because like I could just make like teams that are pre-made. That feels like maybe something. But I feel like it would be fun to like pass cards back and forth or like look at cards and options and choose your guys. Like a fighting game.
Yeah, I feel like if you're kind of going for every guy is a mix of a kit and a frame, mm-hmm. then like coming up with predefined teams kind of Radcrawl style maybe takes a little of that fun away.
Yeah.
But it's also easy.
Yeah.
So
I do feel like this feels less as simultaneously, this feels like the obvious one to make teams for. And also it feels like you're giving something up in doing that, you know? So I don't know. I might make a bunch of little guys.
Yeah.
Because in an ideal world, once I've got these frames and kits together, making a new guy is super easy.
Yeah.
Because then it's just choosing a frame, choosing a kit, maybe rolling for each of those, coming up with a name, and then like choosing a weapon or creating a new weapon or a new ability that fits in nicely. And then that will builds the catalog for create a character.
Yeah.
Which I think is maybe a big goal of this.
Yeah.
I don't think I want to make characters that like you can't make, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah. Pommel ball.
That's good.
Closer to existing than ever.
The professional athletes. Why don't we wrap there? I think
sounds
we're
good.
At time.
Sounds
good. This is a good episode. In spite of me trying to drag us to the left and right about things I don't know anything about.
You know, I think both of those were helpful, actually.
The way my brain works is very strange.
Part of my making fun of you, like setting up and explaining that it wasn't going to be good is trying to build up that confidence in you by tearing you down.
Lowering expectations, I think you mean.
Yeah, you were trying to lower expectations, and I was like, no, James, set those expectations perfect. Make it like the throw-in rules. Perfect.
Yeah, they're perfect.
Perfect, just like the throw-in rules.
If you would like to throw a rule at us, or you have an idea for a secondary objective or something like that, reach out to us. There's a lot of places you can try to reach out to us. I don't know how many places you can actually get in touch with us.
Not a lot,
but in theory, I still do check. Together on Twitter, we are at Stop Hack and Roll, or individually, I'm at End the Meltdowns, and I'm also on Blue Sky at Malloyable.
Last time we recorded, I said that I'm not really on Twitter. And I'm still really not. I'm Bileon Gambetta, not there. But now, new development. Not really on Blue Sky either. But I'm not really on Blue Sky at BLG.
Yeah.
So I've been making some movement away from social media, just in my own development as a human. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to. My hope in the near future is to master getting the messages and like doing the messages, responding to people without being on social media.
Yeah.
That's really what I want. I want no newsfeed.
Messaging you every day.
You will not get responses. Because like I have not looked at Twitter for a while.
Well,
and Blue Sky, I also think I have not looked at for a while.
I still look at them every day. I don't engage with them all that often, but
respond to my messages is in my Finch, which is that little gamified get tasks done thing. But don't add me there either.
No,
I don't want your Finch to come and compliment my Finch's outfit. I just don't. I don't want that. It's too close.
Yeah. Well.
We have a website though. This is the theme. This is the theme of 2024, is one-way communication.
Yes.
We got a website. It's www.stophackandroll.com.
Yeah, it's great. You can look at it.
You can look at it.
We make this podcast.
This makes me sound so grumpy. I love talking to people. I love talking to listeners. I love talking about game ideas. I just can't on social media at the moment.
Yeah. I went through a thing the day where I posted about how, like, I actually miss social media a lot. Like,
yeah.
Everyone does their, like, I haven't been on social media for 6 months, and I feel so much better. I haven't been very active on social media. I feel a lot worse, actually.
I definitely miss it. I definitely have, like, moments of, like, loneliness surrounding it.
Yeah.
It's, and, like, that is part of what is making me go, like, I gotta find a way to balance this.
It really comes down to, like, you can tell who really curated their experiences on social media. Because
yeah.
The people who did not step away from Twitter and go, oh God, everything's better. And the people who really curated their experiences and had, like, a good community of people they talked to are, like, they miss it.
Yeah, yeah. And like, I think that I went from being bad at that curation to being good at that curation.
Yeah.
And I lasted with, like, being good at the curation for, like, 3 months before... Elon Musk was like, hey, Brandon, get out of here.
Well, whether it's social media or not, we make this podcast. This is the best place for you to listen to us. You can talk back to the podcast. I'll try to listen, but it doesn't always work. We make this podcast with the support of our Patreon backers. If you would like to help support the show and any future shows, check us out at patreon.com/stophackandroll.
If you'd like to support us without getting finances involved, come check out our Discord. We are at tinyurl.com/shrdiscord. And it's just a great little community that again, I should do a better job being involved in, because I sure am in there occasionally.
Yeah.
But it's honestly a great group of people. Like,
I've
had some wonderful times with y'all in there.
We still people talk about stuff. We talk about TV. We talk about sports. We talk about games. We talk about
Slice and Dice.
Mm-hmm. I got big into it.
Have you gotten any more wins in Slice and Dice?
Yeah, I think so. I finally started playing on medium.
Nice.
The medium difficulty. And I now have three normal victories and 12 easy victories.
Nice.
Also, they just added a heaven. Oh, it's not going to focus on this camera, but they added a heaven mode.
Yeah, you unlocked that. That was,
which is, I think, even easier than easy.
Heaven mode is truly so much fun because you just get to make the most broken builds.
Yeah.
Right now, I am 4 achievements from beating the game, which means I am playing on unfair generate victory, and I've gotten to the 20th level like 3 times, and then I lose.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. That's Pommel Ball. The professional athletes.
Yep. Well, if you are a professional athlete and you would like to play Pommel Ball.
Yeah.
Remember that the first rule of Pommel Ball is don't forget to stop, hack, and roll.
Probably none of this is actually being used. I'm not sure why I'm using my podcast voice.
I don't know.
Yeah,
that's just how I talk all the time.
Yeah, my voice has just slowly changed to be the podcast voice that I use.